I invite you to stand for the gospel. Our holy gospel today comes from the book of St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, beginning with the first verse. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest siblings in Christ, grace and peace to you from God, our Creator and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of my favorite movies growing up as a kid, and I will watch this movie anytime it's on TV, is the movie Hook. Has anybody ever seen the movie Hook? Raise of hands. I'm a little disappointed in that. We're going to have a movie night. The movie Hook came out in the 90s. It's a Peter Pan story. It stars Robin Williams. Robin Williams is Peter Pan, but he has left Neverland, has grown up, and has forgotten who he was. He thinks that he is now Peter Panning, a very powerful lawyer who does the complete opposite of what Peter Pan would have done as a child. Well, Captain Hook, played by Dustin Hoffman, kidnaps his children trying to draw Peter Pan back. And so with the help of Tinker Bell, this plot sounds ridiculous, but I swear it's a good movie. With the help of Tinker Bell, Peter Panning goes back to Neverland and goes through this process of rediscovering not only who he was, but the values that Peter Pan instills. There's this moment in the movie after training very hard. Robin Williams is tired, and he goes to this table, and it is filled with these piping hot plates, and there's just steam coming from them. And he can smell the most amazing food ever, and he's so excited to have this feast. And then all the lost boys gather around this big table. And then they say grace, literally the word grace, and then they unleash all of this stuff, and he's so excited, except everything is empty. The bowls, the plates, there's nothing there. Yet regardless, all of the lost boys start grabbing stuff, and they're eating things. Their hands look empty, and they look like they're enjoying themselves, but he doesn't get it. There's no food there. It's a lesson that he's not embracing this lifestyle. And then there's a funny moment where he finally does. And in that moment, he looks, and this table is filled with food. And I remember watching this as a kid and just lighting up. It looked so cool. There were massive turkeys and chickens and roasts. There was corn and grilled vegetables. And it was the most cool thing I have ever seen watching a movie. I would start to salivate watching this. And then the desserts, all of these vibrantly covered creams and stuff. I mean, it was a feast. And I remember watching this as a kid and thinking to myself, man, I want to have that. I want to be a part of that. I want that feast. I want all of that food. It just looks so cool. It really looks heavenly. A heavenly feast. And that's truly a popular image as heaven throughout time. We have two stories about a feast today. One from Isaiah and one from our gospel in Matthew. There is about 700 years that separates these two stories. Isaiah was written just under 3,000 years ago. Our gospel was written just under 2,000 years ago. And here we have heaven described as these two feasts. And then we still have this imagery today. We still have movies like Hook or Harry Potter where this big feast is present. We have these ridiculous amusement events like medieval times, right? Where it is a ridiculous feast. And you just eat with your hands. And it is cool. When I asked Livier to be my girlfriend, I took her to medieval times because I wanted to impress her. She almost said no. Don't ever take a girl on a date to medieval times. Be better than that, right? Yeah. but a feast as a heavenly image back in this time. Now, I mean, that was important because people lived in a time of scarcity. They lived in a time where they didn't know where their next meal was coming from. So the idea of having a feast was very meaningful for a starving nation. But it was a lot more than that. You can't have a feast without having people sitting around the table to enjoy it with you. This Isaiah text is easily one of my favorite texts. And it's something that we skip on. It says quite plainly right there in verse 6, on this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food. Now, in antiquity, what was so significant for the Jewish people was that they were set apart from all of the nations around them. All of their customs, their food laws, their rituals, all of those things had one sole purpose, to make them distinct as God's chosen people from everybody around them. But then you have this story talking about the culmination of what God wants for this world, this story of heaven. And what we see here is that God will make for all peoples a feast of rich food. It literally means every single man, woman, and child, regardless of tribe, regardless of status, regardless of what they believe in, every single person is invited to this feast. This was such a radical notion in a time where everybody thought their God was the one true God and everybody else was out. But here we have these Hebrew people who can say, no, our God is a God who includes all people to this heavenly, heavenly feast. Now, when I think of defining what heaven is, for me, it's not, and I don't see this in the Bible either, it's not the place we go when we die. If I had to define heaven in one way, it would simply be the realization of God's desire for all of us. And that's something we get to experience now. What our text points to, both this Isaiah text and in our gospel, is that realizing what God wants for us is realizing the community around us. God's desire for all of us is to experience love and fellowship and relationship with other people, and not just people we are similar to, not just people we agree with, but all people. God's ultimate desire for our lives is to experience community. when I think about these feast stories, Isaiah and the gospel and movies like Hook, yeah, I'm absolutely drawn to that food. I'd really like that. That would be nice. But more than anything else, I feel personally so drawn to the idea of gathering with a bunch of people around me, to have a community where I can be open and vulnerable, where I can come in my time of need and where I can be there in someone else's time of need, where I can express not just my best, but my worst, and know that I am still loved. That is the essence of community that God wants each and every one of us to experience. That is the realization that God has for all of us. And truth is, we typically treat this text as afterlife text. This is something that is meant for us later on, after we die. And I think we use that to justify the fact that, honestly, we are afraid of community. As people today, we are. The idea of being in community with people outside of our close friends and our close family members is a terrifying thing to think about. And Jesus helps us understand why. In his parable today, he highlights two groups who do not want to come to this wedding banquet. There's the first group that ignore this invitation. They just go on with their lives. And you think, if you get invited to a really cool wedding feast, and let me back up, wedding feasts in antiquity, at a minimum, lasted 7 days. The longest, they lasted a month. And this is a king, so it would have been probably the latter. You are eating and drinking for a month. So to say no to something like that probably means you don't really feel like you deserve to be there. If your busy life draws you away from something so amazing, inside there's some level that says, I don't belong here. And then there's the second group that reacts violently. When being invited into this community, something inside of them draws this violence out, and they hurt and kill the messenger. And you think about that. We've all been hurt in our lives by other people, right? We've all had moments where we've left ourselves to be vulnerable and open and have been hurt. And so to be invited into something like that again is a risk. And there's a part of us that says, I don't want to. And in that pain and in that hurt that is there, we react with more pain and more hurt. We live in a world today where we protect ourselves. We put fences up around our houses. We have entertainment systems and Amazon so we never have to leave. We don't have to live in community like they did back then. We can protect ourselves, and very often we choose to. We avoid community because we are afraid. But Jesus believes so much in it that he went to the cross to connect himself to that fear of not belonging and that hurt and that pain that we've experienced in our lives, so that we would know that God is always there with us, helping us to come out and be part of a community again. Jesus believed so much in this, and I'll tell you, as your pastor, I believe in it too, probably more than anything else of our faith. Community, folks, is essential. Community is the church. That is the whole purpose of this place as Bethania. If you think it is simply coming here on Sunday mornings for a worship service, you're missing the point. It is to be a community, to be vulnerable, to love, to come in a time of need and to help others in a time of need too. I believe in it so much that Livia and I chose to have Vesper baptized into this community. Baptism is a meaningless thing in and of itself. It's not some ticket to heaven. Baptism is only important when there is a community around who promises to help that person grow in the spirit and love of God. And that community is something I feel so powerfully here at Bethania. That is why we chose to have Vesper baptized. Because we want her to experience the love of God through this community, just like we do. And it's kind of hard to communicate this reward that we experience in all of it. We had a phenomenal night, though, last Thursday at Theology Pub, which, you know, yeah, you know, beer and stuff, but we gathered around the fire pit over at Solvang Brewing Company, and we talked. We had a conversation about community, what it meant in the time of Jesus, how we experience it now. And there was this moment sitting by the fire where I just looked around at who was gathered there. And we had people from every generation. Even Vesper was there. I mean, every generation. We had people from different socioeconomic backgrounds. We had people of different religious understandings across the political spectrum. We had this diverse group of people sitting around a fire just talking about life. And we even disagreed at times, and we didn't want to hurt each other. With all of the chaos going around in our world, with all of the pain that we've been seeing on the news, all of the natural disasters and fires and earthquakes and shootings, with all of the pain that is out there, that can be overwhelming and just a struggle to get through. We need community in our lives. Because in this one moment, that Thursday, I was able to just sit back and look around and say, this moment right here is beautiful. It's perfect. It's heaven. Someone recently asked me what my dream for Bethania is. It's not that we would grow. It's not that we would have more butts in the pews. It's not that our budget would be in the black every year. It is simply that we can be a space for community, a space where we can be vulnerable and open and loving and inviting to those around us, a place where anyone, all people, can come and even for just a moment experience a piece of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand as you are able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.